Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, hosted and brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am your host this morning, Michelle Berquist. I take that proud pleasure. And our leading lady this morning, who's with me on the radio, is Lenka Holman, who is the Branch Office Supervisor for Transamerica Financial Advisors. Lenka, are you there?
I'm here.
You're there. You're ready to go. Hey, I got to tell you, that zippy music at the beginning, I'm still dancing. So just give me a moment here because I'm still dancing. Woo! Okay. I'm excited about today, and I have to say we're taking on a little bit more serious note because this morning, you know, our radio show is all about our legacy and our future. And I know this, you know, from knowing you, this is something that's really important to you as far as the financial futures of young women. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
I love it. And I know this is, you know, we can make it serious or we can make it fun, but I know there's things that you see that women, you know, don't do well when it comes to managing their finances or things that they should consider. And that's really kind of the crux that we're going to take today is what are women doing that maybe they should be doing differently or considering when it comes to their financial future. So to start with, because people want to know, who are you? I mean, tell me a little bit about your background, and how the heck did you get into financial advice and doing what you do?
Well, like a lot of people out there, I had absolutely no idea what direction I was going to end up in, but everything along the way kind of pushed me in one direction, says, wow, this is it. This is what I've been trained for in ways that were just incredible. So when I was a kid, my family we were the Joneses. The upper middle class, all of that good stuff. And in a span of 4 years, when I was 12, my dad died. And all of a sudden, at the age of 16, I got the chance to help go to work so that we could pay the mortgage. So things really didn't pan out for his last teenage years the way that the first years of my life had. And it was a huge wake-up call because my parents weren't ready for anything. Then fast forward, I had babies, went to college, thought I had the perfect career, and, you know, 10 years later, I end up divorced with two kids, working three jobs, not getting child support. And I wanted to do something for my kids for college. So I went to one of the traditional brokerages and found out that, you know, I was treated almost like a pariah because I didn't fit the mold. So
what do you mean by that? What kind of mold? What kind of mold did you not fit in?
Well, very simply, I was working three jobs. I was trying to actually put food on the table. And when I came in, they gave me these pretty charts and graphs and said, you get the opportunity, if you want your kids to go to college, to set aside $250 per month per child. Woohoo! And I said, are you kidding me? I've got $50. That's it. And at that minute, this man's tone changed, his body language changed, and he couldn't get me out the door fast enough. And I felt like an absolute idiot, a loser that couldn't do anything for my kids. And so when I saw, you know, fast forward many, many years down the road, when I saw that there was a chance for me to actually talk to people, what I call the real people, in a way that was respectful, no matter where they were starting, it was just like I had been prepped for this. At one point, I was even on WIC coupons. Things had gone really bad, and I really turned it around with a whole lot of hard work, and I knew that other people could do the same thing.
How long were you a single mom? You were a single mom with two daughters. I don't know if you shared that yet on the radio,
yes.
But how long were you a single mom?
I was a single mom for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, you know, it was almost the poverty portion of it came long before then. The WIC coupons, that came in my first marriage, hence why it's an ex-husband. We don't need to go down the road. But honestly, everything in that prepped me for what I needed to know. I needed to know that it's humiliating to be there and that people want to get out of that point. And you know what? Now that we actually have some money in my new life, I want to make sure that it's okay, that I'm okay, and that my girls are okay. And I want to teach my girls that, and if anybody gets nothing else out of this, a man is not a plan.
Yes.
You got to take control because you don't know what's going to happen. I've had to deal with the widows who didn't know where the money was. I've had to deal with the women who, you know, 40, 50 years after taking care of the kids, all of a sudden get traded in on a younger model.
I have to say, yeah, and I really like your take on real people, but tell me, what was it that changed for you that you said, okay, this is going to work for me in financial advising? Because it's like you were saying, it's like this guy, you got up, you turned around, you went out. What got you back into the world of financial advice?
Well, that kind of started in that I started telling people what to do, even though they didn't really ask. I started reading
for you.
Everything. I know. That's me. I started reading everything that I could. What I found when I read a lot of things, I didn't find a guru and follow everything they said blindly, because a lot of those I will call financial entertainers. But those, reading everything from all kinds of different ideas, I just started putting things together for myself, figured I wanted to do this myself. But once I was remarried, we had a stable family, a home that I wasn't afraid was going to go away. I realized the job I had, which was totally unrelated, didn't satisfy me. I could do my job in my sleep, and I didn't feel like I made a difference in anything. So I went looking, and then when I found these opportunities in finance, it just felt right for me, and I felt like I could actually do something for young girls who had no idea what was going to go on that seemed to be a gap when I was looking for help.
And I have to say, you and I know each other, so we need to put that out in disclosure, but in the radio land. But, one of the things that I like most about you is when I see in our conversations and I hear how much you do for your daughters. And that's really kind of the take we're doing today is with real people, but women, and then looking at the legacy. I mean, what is it that you would share, if you don't mind, on the radio that you feel is advice that young women really need to know about finances? What is it? Give me like five things that you feel young girls need to know that they don't right now from what you see as a financial advisor.
The first thing is the one that I already said, a man is not a plan.
There's a website for that, by the way. A man is not a plan.
It's a
registered website. I love that.
It's great. It's true. You know, I didn't know that that's out there, but yeah, it's true. Secondly, you don't know where you're going. So don't think that one path is everything. Good grief. My degree was in optical physics.
So
a little bit removed from finance. So it's not about what you pick at the age of 17 to get into a college that's actually going to determine where you're going. And understand that things change. To use the analogy of clothing, everybody has heard the classic advice, you need a little black dress. Well, that's great. Does that mean that you buy a little black dress at the age of 18 and you're going to have that the rest of your life? I don't know about you. I'm not a size 4 anymore. I'm not even a size 8 anymore. And so things change. So you, whether you're talking about your career, your money, your wardrobe, you take a look at it. What's working for you now? And that leads to the last and probably the biggest thing is get a lot of advisors. Like I said, no gurus that you follow blindly, because that's a cult. You don't drink the Kool-Aid. You just talk to people. You got to have people who are in the industry and actually know what's out there. You've got to have your tax professionals, because God only knows what's going to happen there. And, you know, lawyers are important as well. So
I think you're hitting on some good things. No, you're hitting on some good things, because, I mean, I can remember back when I was in high school, and it's like then I got into banking, commercial banking, right? And nobody taught me when I was in high school how to balance a checkbook. I mean, it was something that it's like until I got into banking, I was like, oh, you got to do that? I thought it was just an unending amount of money. Mom, just write a check, you know? And by the way, I came from a single family home. My parents were divorced, and I know how much my mom did for us, you know, as we were growing up. But, you know, this kind of like financial education piece, I don't see it, and I still don't. You know, I mean, are you focusing more on young girls to, you know, get the word out? I mean, what are some things you're doing to help girls understand finances better? Because is there educational programs or what's out there? I'm curious.
Well, there's not much. The truth is there isn't much out there. I thought that I would be able to do some of that. And for my family, I was able to do that because my girls were in Girl Scouts for a very, very long time. They were actually, both of my daughters started in Girl Scouts in either first or second grade, and then graduated as scouts. So they went all the way through, and there's less than 1% of people who actually do that.
And by the way, let me throw in that your girls are lovely. I've met them. They've done some work for us and connected Women of Influence at the Mega Mixer. They are delightful. So you've done a great job there, Mama.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It, when you become part of the bigger, it goes back to the you know, not isolating yourself, looking at everything that's out there, being able to go to a women's mega mixer at the age of 17 and walk around and see, okay, what do women do? It's no longer, you know, become a teacher and you'll have a great pension, blah, blah, blah. No, that's, you know, there's a lot going on out there. So those types of things, it's going to sound stupid, but the reality is that the biggest gain from Girl Scout cookies is sure as heck not the money, because they don't make very much at all on their efforts on that. It's just less than about 60 to 70 cents per box, but the girls learn a ton of lessons. What they learn is how to talk to people, how to sell. You got to be able to budget. You have to understand what your goals are. And all of that kind of translates into so many other different ways. Most recently, I started working with Junior Achievement because they've got some more structured stuff. And, of course, everything is getting pulled out of schools right now. If it's not reading, writing, arithmetic, you're done.
Right.
You're out.
More arts, yeah, sports, oh
exactly.
My gosh.
But, you know, I know that there are some teachers out in El Cajon that I've talked to who are trying to get these types of programs, but the biggest problem is there's not a lot of great material out there. If you take a look at the economics books for teens, for schools, they're useless. They don't teach you how to balance a checkbook. They talk about things that the kids don't care about. So,
and you know, I gotta jump in, Linka, because there was a statistic I saw, and this was probably, I don't remember which, I think it was in the Harvard Business Review, some sort of study that was done where they did a survey of young girls, and they asked them what their career aspirations were. And sick and twisted, about 80% of the responses back were these young girls, their hopes and aspirations were to be, you know, reality TV stars. And it was like, that was the chosen profession. Like, are you kidding me? It's like, I just was shocked when I saw that. And some others were like doctor, you know, those kinds of things. But the predominant, like, wannabe type of profession was a reality TV star. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what have we become, you know, with our young and women specifically, because women aren't choosing science and engineering. I mean, and I'm going to jump in because one thing I wish that would have happened when I was in college as I would have had some education on financial literacy from the standpoint that when you're in college, you get so many credit card offers from companies. And if you're not paying attention to that, and, you know, I kind of went crazy. I mean, I learned it's like leverage. You know, I don't need to have the money in the bank. I just need to have credit. So kind of what's your opinion on that and some things that maybe young girls need to think about as far as finances?
Well, it goes, the credit is the obvious. The credit is the absolute obvious because it is so easy. I remember my first day of college. I walked onto campus, and there you had, you know, Citibank or whoever it was at the time, I don't even remember, sitting there saying, here, get a credit card. And that's just, it's almost, you know, shove down and get a T-shirt when you apply for a credit card. That's their lure. You get clothing by getting a credit card. But in the reality, I think we've kind of hit critical mass. That's one thing that I see as to young people that I talk to in my profession. They get it. They are now seeing, oh, wait a minute, that didn't work out for my friend. That didn't work out for my parents. My parents are now losing their house. My parents now can't retire until they're 90 because this, because they got the SUV, because they did this. So I'm seeing more, I've had more young clients in their early to mid 20s start the right things and say, I don't want credit cards, than in those last year, than I did the previous 8 years of what I was doing with this business. So that is shifting, and it's shifting because they've seen things go really lousy. And so that's shifting. But you're right about the education. It's like almost every state in the union has sex ed, and less than 10 have any kind of financial education necessary.
Wow,
so
that's sad.
It really is sad.
They need to get you, I think, before college, because by college, it's like, you know, your kind of habits are set. So, no, that's a good opinion. I mean, we're talking young girls, but I want to flip it to women. It's like, because, you know, Connected Women of Influence is focused on women, especially women in professional roles, executive roles, ownership roles. So what are some of the things that you see that women don't do very well? I mean, I agree that it's like with the economic recession, you know, that happened, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, it's like, boy, things are different. People spend differently. People think differently. But what are some of the trends you see that women just still are not getting when it comes to finances or investing? What do you see from the standpoint of what they should be doing?
Well, they're not saving early enough. The idea that, well, my income is for the extras. My income is so little Johnny can go to football practice, so that little Susie can have her ballet lessons. And they look at their income as the bonus instead of part of the entire overall picture. It's just ridiculous, and I'm not going to spout, you know, numbers because 92% of statistics are made up on spot. But most women, it is fewer than half of the women out there who have a 401k available to them actually take advantage of it.
What's the statistic again? What is that?
It's less than half. Less than half have a 401k sitting there available to them. And this is not to say 401k is the end all. Everybody's got something different that's good for them. But fewer than half of them actually take advantage of it. Most men do to some extent or another because they're looking at, okay, I'm going to retire. This is it. But, I mean, if you think about it, it's about as backwards as you can because guess what? Let's just say the husband does have a pension. Okay, let's just say. Not many do anymore. The women are living longer than men.
Uh-huh.
And let's say you have the perfect marriage and you're together for 80 years, however long. You're generally younger than your husband, and women live longer than their husband. So do the math.
Right.
If the pension goes away, you're in trouble, and you haven't taken a look at all of the other, the what ifs and all of that. And so just starting early enough and realizing, great, my husband has a pension. My husband has this. My husband has that. What do I have? And if you want to look at the supplement, look at what is my income going to supplement to when we're actually retired, when we want to hang out with the grandkids, that type of thing.
And let me ask you this. What do you see as kind of the mindset? Because, you know, I mean, I've seen stuff that's out there that says, you know, get your head in the right place and you should, you know, it's like women don't have the right mindset for investing. I mean, it's like they don't understand stocks. They don't, I mean, do you see that too? That,
that's crap.
Is it?
That's
okay.
Crap.
I'll just say it. Okay.
You know what it really is? Women think that they want to take care of others. They think that anytime they're going to set aside money in their own plan for their own retirement, they're being selfish. It's back to the idea, if you want to talk mindset, back to the idea of Johnny wants a new iPad. I can work a few extra hours and do that for him. Or, you know, my work is so that my family can have more. Now, it's not to think of the future. It's to think of what can I do for others. I'm going to stop working and take away my income from the family so that I can be home with the kids. Nothing wrong with that, but does it put you in financial jeopardy? Those
right.
types of things. Are you thinking about what is the future? Or are you thinking about taking care of everybody else? I've had people who, when the husband passes away, the lady decides she's going to start distributing all of the wealth, not thinking, what if I'm going to have a medical issue? What if all of a sudden I'm going to need long-term care? And so they're still in the mindset of, okay, I'm not going to take care of me. I'm going to take care of everybody else.
And let me throw this at you, because we're like, you know, this is one thing I want to give you an opportunity. We're unpacking a huge, you know, conversation here. And there might be people, and I'm hoping, listeners, that may have more questions. Well, how can people reach you? I mean, what is your phone number? And if you don't mind sharing your email address, can you do that?
Yeah. My phone number is 619-920-0831. I live by that phone. My husband says I'm going to die by that phone, so that's the best way to get a hold of me.
Okay, good to know.
And the quickest way to get a hold of me is my personal email address. It's just my name, LenkaHolman@Cox.net. Just L-E-N-K-A, right, LenkaHolman@Cox.net.
Awesome. No, because I know, you know, people will follow up, and we've got some, you know, listeners on that it's like, I think there's just, you know, everybody goes, okay, this is great information, but how does that apply to me? So let me ask you this, because, you know, we're kind of like halfway through our show, but what kind of approach do you take when you sit down with somebody? Let's say it's a single mom, or as you called it, the real people. It's like, what approach do you take, you know, to kind of like get the perspective and then make recommendations? Not that you're going to give recommendations today. I know you can't
right.
do that. But, you know, how do you take, what approach do you take to sit down with somebody and kind of like get to the real, you know, get to the underbelly of where you're at with somebody to make recommendations?
Yeah. And just to follow up on what you said, there's a really good reason why I can't make recommendations. First of all, it would be in the financial entertainment realm of saying, hey, this is the end all for everybody. But secondly, because I have a half a dozen designations, I'm actually held to a higher standard. So somebody who has never had anything at all, any kind of testing, any kind of regulation, any kind of training, they can go out and say anything they want because there's no repercussions if they tell somebody the wrong thing. But as far as the process, it goes back to getting advisors, listening to people. Not everybody has the same goals. Not everybody needs the same things. And it comes into asking the hard questions, because 9 times out of 10, if you sit in front of somebody and say, what do you want? They're going to look at you with a blank stare. And there's a really good reason for that. The reason for that is because they're thinking about, how am I going to survive today, not tomorrow?
Right.
And so it's just figuring out where you want to go, taking an inventory of what's going on today, whether it be the credit cards or whatever, and say, okay, how am I really going to get there? The American dream idea that everybody gets a job, works at one place, and, of course, now a lot of the pundits are saying the American dream is to own your own home. Well, for anybody who's had to replace a roof on short notice, it's not much of a dream at all times.
Yeah, now the question, is that the American dream, to own a home with what we've been through? I think for many of us, we would question that.
It depends on which politician you ask.
Yeah.
And that's the real answer. All of that started in the Clinton era, and this is not a political statement, but before that, the statement, the American dream, was not to own a home. That was changed in that time frame. Before then, it was the opportunity to go out and work and strive to become whatever you wanted. That's what the American dream was. It wasn't to own a home. That just changed over the last couple decades. So it's kind of funny to look at history in that respect.
Well, and all the things you're saying are true, because I look at and I see women, and it's like, again, some of the factors I look at is women do rely, but in a lot of households, women are the ones that are paying the bills and managing the money. I think, again, you're spot on to say that women don't think of themselves first, and even though they live longer, so I think that's a good one. But, what are some other things that you see that women just really probably should be doing that they're not focused on when it comes to finances? Whether they're a single mom or whatever, you see a lot of who comes in your door and the people you work with. And I know you take a customized approach, but what else? What else are women doing that they should be thinking about differently as it relates to finances?
It really does go to that time frame of thinking yourself first. And here's another example. Most people say, okay, I'm going to start taking care of my retirement after I get the kids through school, after I get the kids through college, after I pay the house off. And then it's just too late. And last time I checked, there were not any retirement scholarships out there. There still are a few school scholarships, college scholarships, but there's just nothing else out there. Knowing what's going on with your money, getting the advisors, and I'm being repetitive here, getting advisors who are going to sit down with you and talk about what are things going on. The reviews. Does that fit anymore? Is my little black dress for an 18-year-old or is it for a 45-year-old? we laugh at it, but we can visualize the little black dress on the 45-year-old who's trying to squeeze into something she really shouldn't. But here, what about your finances? Are you using the right things that work for you? That's really what it comes down to.
No, I think you're really smart to say that. It's like, you're one piece of the puzzle from a kind of like a comprehensive look at somebody's future. That was one of the things I know, and I got this. I have to say, very sadly, my mom taught me some great things, but I really got some just amazing advice from my grandfather. That was the person that it's like I look at. I remember him telling me, Michelle, it's like, you should always make sure you surround yourself with a great financial advisor, a good tax preparer, and a good attorney, and those people can help guide and advise you. So I think, for you, it's like that is one thing women, at least from my kind of like trend analysis, are more willing to accept help and advice, but how does one go about, what would be your suggestions for how somebody, selects some of those advisors? What should they look for in terms of personality or good fit?
Interview them. Talk to them. See if they actually listen. If you say, hey, my dream is to just have a small cottage on the beach where I'm selling jewelry in my retirement so I can relax and get away with things, then why is somebody trying to shove the idea that you need to have $10 million per year, blah, 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 whatever the number is? Are they listening to you? Or do they already know what you need before you walk in? Are they willing to do reviews? That's the one big thing that, it's too easy. It's too much of a, okay, transaction, boom, move on. You get a chance to do that with your tax advisor because you have to see them every year in April or somewhere there around. But people won't think, okay, that's the time to go ahead and talk to my other advisors to see how things are going, to see do I need to make changes. That's huge. That is really, really huge. do they listen to me? Do they do reviews? And do I like them? Oh, well, you know, this person XYZ is the top, or they have a, not to diminish Blog Talk, but they have a radio show, so everybody has to go to this person. So does that mean that they're the best out there? Not necessarily. I mean, you do want somebody with some experience, but the main thing is, do they get?
I think that's good advice that people need to shop around. So, I mean, last thing, like, because we're on really at the end of our show, I want to thank you so much for coming on board. But are there any other, like, you know, final thoughts, something maybe I haven't asked you that you feel you want to share with some of our listeners and the people that, you know, are women listening in about taking charge of their financial future? Any final words?
You know what? Get into programs. Get your kids involved into programs with like Junior Achievement or Scouts or anything, and listen in. You'd be surprised how much you can learn on something that's put at a teenage level, and you'd be surprised how much the teenagers actually learn. I forced my daughters to go to some of my presentations, and you know what? They rolled their eyes, but some of it sinks in. It gets that it's okay to actually talk about money. You're more likely to talk about sex in church than you are to talk about money. So it's just, get it out there. We all spend money every day. So
I love it.
You know, well, girl, getting in there with your kids, and you're set.
Your girls are delightful. I did say that. I'm kind of curious. It's like from the Mega Mixer. It's like, what did they say at the end of the evening when they saw all the ladies that were, you know, in different businesses? Did they have any comment as far as at the end of it?
You know, they were surprised as to how many different businesses there were that women were doing. They were expecting, you know, the stereotypical, the usual stuff. But they were really surprised as to how many different things. As a matter of fact, I'll leave you this last thing, and I promise not too many statistics. But if women got together, all the women-owned businesses, we'd be the fifth largest gross national product. You know, right behind Germany. So
girl,
we're a powerhouse. We just need to recognize it.
I do love statistics, and I have to say, it's about women taking over the world. But, you know, you gave some wise advice. I can't thank you enough. That is our show, folks, for today. I just want to say thank you for listening in to Women Leading the Way Radio. It's been my pleasure to be your host today. We will be back again next Monday morning at 9 a.m. And, Lenka, thank you for your time and your advice. And I do think for all of us, it's like, get an advisor, talk to different advisors, and the upshot today is women can manage the financial model. So with that, I'm out. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you guys next Monday.
Thanks.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.